Part 19, Chapter 7. They got to the car without incident beyond a couple of sly cracks from passing cadets, such as...
Had a crash, Stormy.
In reference to the bandage, and...
White one out, Starmalong? Or was it that lass in Inverness? Or her daddy?
There was a big package in the car, making seating tight, even in cyclo seats. Kerr swept the car out across the rolling plain with the effortless skill of one with years and tens of thousands of hours on a console behind him. Johnny had not remembered how well Kerr drove. Better than Turl on ground cars and machinery.
I told them that it was you two that had gone to fetch the housing needed from Cornwall. I was even seen to unload it from your plane.
Nothing like having an experienced criminal along, Johnny commented. It tickled Kerr, and he cranked up the ground car to 150. On this rough plain, Angus had shut his eyes tight as the shrubs and rocks whooshed by.
And there's two air masks and bottles I brought. We'll claim breathe gas is leaking in the pipes. Not enough for me, too much for you. Put them on!
They deferred it, however, until they were near the compound. Chinko air masks, cut down to fit a human, were a mite uncomfortable at any time. Johnny didn't care about the speed. He took an instant to glory in the beautiful day. The plains were a bit brown, and the snow a trifle less on the peaks at this season. But it was his country. He was tired of rain and humid heat. It was sort of good to be home. He snapped out of it suddenly as they screeched to a slow in billowing dust on the plateau near the cage. Kerr didn't care where he went in a vehicle. Kerr leaned out the window and yelled at the cage.
It came! I don't think it's the right housing, but we'll see.
Turl. There he was, paws on the bars. They had the electricity off.
We'll speed it up!
Roared Turl.
I'm tired of being roasted in this sun! How many days yet, you crap brain?
2, 3, no more!
Yelled Kerr. He shot the vehicle into a perilous reverse, and it spun up in the air about 7 feet and came down diving toward the other side of the compound to enter the garage doors. Kerr shot in and spun the car down a ramp into a deserted sector and stopped.
Now we go to his office.
Not yet,
said Johnny, hand on the blast gun inside his coat.
Remember that old closet where they first imprisoned Turl?
Yes,
said Kerr, doubtfully.
Is it still rigged with breathe gas?
I guess so.
First, drive by the electronics storeroom and pick up a mineral analysis machine, and then drive to that closet.
Kerr was a bit uneasy.
I thought we wanted into his office.
We do, but we got a little business first. Don't be alarmed. The last thing in the world I would want to do is hurt you. Relax. Do what I said.
Kerr revved up and shot the car through the mazes of ramps on its way to do as Johnny said. The place had not been much cleaned up since the battle, but hundreds of planes were still there, the thousands of vehicles and mining machines, the dozens of shops for various types of work, and hundreds of storerooms, the bric-a-brac as well as the valuables of 1,000 years of operation. Johnny looked at them speculatively. They were wealth for this planet in the way they could be used to rebuild it. And every mine site had huge and similar stores of material. These things should be preserved and cared for. They were irreplaceable, since the factories that had made them were universes away. But plentiful as they were, they would run out and wear out eventually. Another reason to join the community of stellar systems. He doubted that much of this was made on Cyclo. The Cyclos were exploiters of alien races and terrain. Hadn't they even borrowed their language and technology? Teleportation seemed to be the key to their power. Well, he was working on that. They drew up before the old closet and Angus struggled in with the mineral analysis machine. Johnny fiddled with the breathe gas circulator. They checked their own air masks and shut the door. They told Kerr to take his mask off. Kerr, a trifle apprehensive, yet had the presence of mind to pull out a wad of black waste and block the viewport. Johnny and Angus went right to work.
It'll only take a second.
They persuaded Kerr to put his head on the mineral analysis plate. He did, but he kept rolling his amber eyes up at them sideways, as though he thought they were a bit crazy. He recalled the machine's use on Johnny, and he tried to tell them he had never been shot in the head much. They worked. Angus had become very expert in adjusting these machines, and he twiddled knobs for different depth settings and focuses.
Crick in my back.
Kerr was getting a crick in his back, bending over, and said so. They shushed him. They turned his head in every direction on the plate. At the end of a sweating 35 minutes, they let him up. Kerr stood there rubbing his neck and trying to get his spine straight again. Johnny looked at him.
Tell us about your birth, Kerr.
Kerr thought this was a bit mad. He opened his mouth to speak and then glanced at the door. He took a device out of his pocket and plunked it against the area beside the viewport. It had a little light sphere on it and would tell them whether anyone was standing outside.
Yeah.
Angus checked the intercom set into the panel and turned it off.
Well, I was born of wealthy parents.
Oh, come on, Kerr,
said Johnny.
Truth. We want the truth, not some fairy tale.
Kerr looked a little offended. He sighed in a martyred fashion. He took out a miniature box flask of Kerbango and chewed off a small piece. He needed that. He hunkered down against the wall and began all over again.
I was born of wealthy parents on Cyclo. The father was named Ka. It was a very proud family. His first female gave birth to a litter. Usually a Cyclo litter is four pups, sometimes five. In this case, it was six. Well, it often happens that when there's that many pups, one of them is a runt. Not enough space in the female organs, or something. So anyway, I was the sixth pup and a runt. Not wanting the family disgraced, they threw me out in the garbage, that being the usual treatment for such. A family slave, for his own reasons, fished me out and took me away. He was a member of an underground revolutionary organization. There are miles of abandoned mine shafts under the Imperial City, and slaves escape into them, and nobody can keep them policed. So there I was. Maybe that's why I'm at home in the mines. The slaves were of the Balfin race, blue-colored people. They aren't exactly ordinary-looking. They can breathe gas, the cycloatmosphere, and don't have to wear masks. And so they can be seen easily in the streets. Maybe they had an idea they needed a cyclo of their own to plant bombs or something. But anyway, they brought me up and trained me to steal things for them. I could slip in and out of small places being so small. When I was about 8, which is pretty young for a cyclo, an Imperial Bureau of Investigation agent named Jayed infiltrated the group with what they call agents provocateurs to provoke them to commit big crimes so they could be arrested. The IBI raided the underground after a while. Being small, I got out through an old ventilator shaft. I was hungry after that and just wandering in the streets. So I found a small window in back of a goo food ship. It was too small to be barred for no normal cyclo could get in. So I crawled through and tripped an alarm system. A fact that encouraged me later to learn all about such things.
Kerr paused and took another small chew of Kerbango. Actually, it was a welcome break for him. One can't handle Kerbango wearing a breathe mask, for you can't spit out the small, grainy residue. It was kind of a relief to him as well. He had never told the story before.
Anyway,
Kerr continued,
they tried me and found me guilty and sentenced me to be branded with the 3 bars of denial and a century of service in the Imperial pits. There I was, 8 years old, at hard labor with hard criminals. I was too small to fit any of their shackles, so they just let me run around, and that's why I haven't any shackle marks on my ankles. I don't have to be careful when I take off my boots. Because I was footloose, the older criminals could use me to carry illegal messages between the chain gangs and cells, and they educated me pretty thoroughly in crime. When I was about 15... There was a plague hit the pits, and a lot of guards died. And having no shackles, I escaped. By this time, I knew my business, even though 15 is pretty young for a cyclo. Being small, I could get in and out of windows and cubbyholes nobody thought to bar, and I collected myself a lot of ready cash. I bought false identity papers, bribed an intergalactic mining company personnel clerk, and got myself employed as a shaft man because I could get in and out of small places. I served in various systems for the company and have somehow gotten along for the last 25 years. I'm only 41, and a cyclo lives to be about 190, so I got 149 years to go. The immediate problem is how I plan to spend it.
Thank you. What leverage does Turtle have on you?
That ape? None now. He did have, but not now. None. Praise the devils.
Were you ever trained in math?
Asked Johnny. Kerr laughed.
No, I'm dummy at it. All I am is a practical engineer. No education, but experience. And crime, of course.
Do you like cruelty, Kerr?
The midget cyclo hung his head. He looked ashamed in the reflected light from the machine.
As long as I'm being honest, which is a novelty, I can tell you, I have to pretend to like cruelty. To get my fun out of hurting things. Otherwise, other cyclos would consider me abnormal. But, no, I don't like it. I'm sorry to say.
He roused himself.
Say, Johnny, what's all this about?
Angus and Johnny looked at each other. This cyclo didn't have any objects in his head. None at all. But Johnny was not going to let go of vital data. Kerr didn't know about such objects, and probably very few cyclos did.
You've got a different skull structure from other cyclos. You are completely different.
Kerr jerked into alertness.
Is that a fact? Well, well. I often felt there was some difference.
He became pensive.
Cyclos don't like me, and actually I don't like them. I'm glad to have the reason.
Johnny and Angus were very relieved about their test. They didn't want Kerr attacking them and committing suicide when he realized they were seeking the answer to the riddle of teleportation. They were just gathering up their gear when the telltale on the door flashed. Somebody was just outside.